Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
You may be seated, and you can turn your attention to the screens.
I've been going to North Star for probably about a year now. North Star has been really big in my walk with the Lord, just in terms of growth and fellowship. In my life, I think I've tried to put my identity into a lot of different things, hoping that it would bring satisfaction. And I think that North Star has helped point me in the direction of looking to Jesus for my identity. And I think that being able to feel that satisfaction and like experience it kind of feels like breathing again. I've been surrounded at North Star by a lot of people who will constantly like point back to Jesus. Everyone that I've been around has been really graceful in the way that they have been pointing me back and sticking with me, and I think that's been a really cool thing to be a part of. Going into a lot of Sundays, like starting out, I was thinking, what could I get out of like going to church and what kind of things could I benefit from? But I think I was challenged on that. And so I try to go into church every Sunday thinking like, how can I be a blessing to someone? And obviously I think that's easier said than done, but I think that's helped change my perspective. There's a big community here of like service, and I've met a lot of people that way, and I've seen people's heart for the church. It's been a really cool experience getting to be like part of the service and just meeting all the different kinds of people that are, you know, constantly helping out.
This is a Sunday that is one of our most special Sundays at North Star. It's an opportunity for us each and every year. We call it State of the Church Sunday, and it's a reminder for us of all that God has done in our church family. I was deeply grateful for Luke sharing a little bit of his story about involvement and how God has been working in his life. I felt a little bit bad for him as he was sharing RIP Broncos. Every one of us has a different story. Every one of us has a story to tell, and I hope that will come loud and clear through the message today. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 78, and we're going to begin in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 8, and this constant idea of there is a narrative to tell. There's a story to share, and it's the story of Jesus. And more specifically, it's your story about how Jesus has impacted your life. And if you're a follower of Jesus, we all have the responsibility to recognize and to share with other people what God has done in our lives. And that's what State of the Church really looks back on, is how God's people through the North Star Church have shared Jesus in our community and with one another this past year. Verse 1, my people, hear my instruction. Listen to the words from my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I'll speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known and that our fathers have passed down to us. We will not hide them from our children, but we will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, and the wondrous works he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob, and he set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. And they were to rise and tell their children, so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. Then they would not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not loyal and whose spirit was not faithful to God. So Psalm 78, really, as you read all of the psalm, it's a recounting. It's a retelling of how God has been faithful to the people of Israel. They paused and they looked back and they recognized God's activity in the nation of Israel. And as they paused and looked back, they also had to recognize the moments of unfaithfulness that the people of Israel had had. And so it's this juxtaposition of God's faithfulness over against Israel's unfaithfulness. But the gist of Psalm 78 is just in not forgetting what God has done, of not going through a year or years of ministry and forgetting to pause and reflect on what God has done. Because the most important thing is not just to soak and marinate in the joy of what God's done, but also to soak and marinate in the hardships that God has led us through, to recognize his consistent faithfulness to his people. And over again in first eight verses of Psalm 78, you hear this refrain that we are commanded to tell the next generation. Because if we're not faithful to pause and look back and tell and recount God's faithfulness, a generation will rise up who has forgotten God's goodness. A generation will rise up with a rebellious heart and a stubborn spirit who does not follow God any longer. But the importance here is not just telling people, but it's living it out, right? You don't just tell people what God has done, but you demonstrate from your daily life that you are in love with the Lord and that your love for God comes out in the way that you conduct your life. So the ultimate principle that we'll revisit several times today is the reason that we recount is to rejoice and remind. The reason we recount is to rejoice and remind. That word recount, it's not like an election-oriented word, which I demand a recount. But that word recount means to narrate the facts or particulars. It means to tell over again, to relate in detail, to recite, to tell or narrate the story, to enumerate. And so the State of the Church Sunday is an opportunity for us to remember and recount in humility what God has done in this church family over this past year. For those of you who are guests here this morning, perhaps it's your first time. You visited because maybe you looked us up on the web and you found a church that preaches and teaches God's word. You said, I'll check North Star out today. Perhaps you were invited here today and you could not have come at a better opportunity. It's an opportunity to look behind the curtain. It's an opportunity to see what this church, where its heart is centered. How we reflect on what God has done reveals a lot about who we are as God's people. Our remembering really is a way to humble ourselves and to praise the Lord for what he's done. So let me share with you some numbers as we look back and we recount and we tell what God's done. Let me share with you just ways specifically that God has worked. Before I get going, if you want to follow along with me, you can look at the screen. You can see this on the screen. You can go to this website real quickly in your phones, don'tgo.b/SOTC. Or you can scan the QR code. Either one of those will get you there, and it'll give you a handout that just helps you follow along with this, because I really am going to move through it so I can get back into the text. But the reality of these things is we also have a hard copy printed out for you if you want to take something home. It's at the welcome desk. You can swing by there on your way out and get a copy of it there. But this past year, as you may be aware of, as Braden just announced, we're about to launch back into our small groups. But this past year, we had an enormous response to our small groups. We had 20 different groups over the course of the year. 310 different folks participated in our small groups at North Star. And you can see our leaders, the average group size. And so that is where North Star really seeks to be the church together. It's where we pray together, where we support one another, where we learn more about God's word together, where we ask ourselves, how can we apply what we're learning on Sundays to our daily lives and encourage one another in our relationships with Jesus? And the North Star is a church that focuses on discipleship. One of the things that we do at North Star is we have a six-week material that we call the Discipleship Initiative. So over the course of this past year, we had 47 different people participate, 25 leaders, 28 groups. These groups are usually 1 to 2 or 3 people that get together and they teach you in 6 sessions 4 important principles. The principle of intimacy with God, humility before God, obedience to God, and how as you walk with Christ in intimacy and humility and obedience, he gives you influence. So if you've not participated in the discipleship initiative before, we want to invite you to consider doing so this year. And then in our kids ministry, right now we have about 100 kids meeting right over there. And we have some amazing workers working with them, telling them about Jesus week in and week out. We had 402 kids at kids camp. Can we just take a big sigh of like amazement and go, okay, it's coming again. We're always recruiting people. If you want to see God work in children's lives, Kids Camp is an amazing opportunity for you to do so. Our kids ministry would love to have you involved in June in that. You can see those numbers. Every week we have about 33-something people working over there, helping with our kids. We're always needing other volunteers who see for vision the joy and the privilege of telling children how much God loves them through his son, Jesus Christ. And then our youth meet in this building every week on Wednesday night. And God has been doing such a work in our youth ministry. We're so grateful for Philip and his team. You can see the realities of how God's been working in that ministry. It's pretty amazing. One of my favorite things to do on Thursdays is walk into the building. And usually you'll see Philip walking around with this tall telescoping pole replacing the ceiling tiles that have been knocked out after youth group. It's like one of my favorite activities to watch him do. Baptisms this past year. God really blessed our church as we got to see people receiving Jesus and then displaying their obedience to Jesus through baptisms. We had 38 people baptized in 2024. And then our average attendance, if you've been participating in North Star for any length of time, this past year was our highest year of average attendance. We had 574 average throughout the year. We do something a little bit different because we live in a college town. We measure our average attendance in 3 different ways. We measure it the whole year, which includes summer and when students are gone, during school, and then our summer average. But if you can see that far left column, every single one of those averages was greater than what we have historically experienced in the past. God has been significantly at work in our church family. Then you can see this next slide that's a bar chart. That pink column right there is just the years of 2020, when we all had to learn to do things differently, and our attendance looked a lot different as a result. We are still grateful to Grace Life Baptist Church in Christiansburg for allowing us to meet in their building on Sunday nights. If you're new to North Star, we met in Blacksburg Middle School for 18 years until the pandemic. And when the pandemic kicked us out, at the same time we had begun construction. It was just God's providence. It was his sovereignty. And so in Easter of 2021, the building was completed and we were able to move into this facility. This is still brand new to us in a lot of ways. This past year in 2024, we also saw 70 people join North Star. It was such a delight to see that. Braden already announced that on Monday night, February 3rd, we'll have a Discovering North Star dinner. That's our membership class. If you've been participating with North Star or attending, and you're just sensing God's moving you to joining the church, that's the first step in doing so. Now, God has also blessed our congregation through your obedience and giving. So this past year, we had a church budget of $986,000. We just missed that. We received $983,000, but our expenses were only $914,000 for last year. So God was amazingly good to this church through your obedience and your generous and joyful giving. Now, out of what we receive, we always have a commitment to give money away to ministries and missions. And so last year, we were able to give almost $91,000 to ministries and missions around the world. And then in December, we took up an additional offering that wasn't included in those receipts. We call it our holiday missions offering. And the total for that holiday missions offering just given in December was almost $11,500. 100% of that, we give it away. We don't keep it here. We give it to other ministries and missions that we support. And even as we take this amazing collective sigh of praise for how God has been working in our church, that's our regular budget. That's our holiday missions budget. But even beyond that, we have our Measurably More 7 fund, which is for our building to pay that off. We have a vision to pay it off in 7 years. We have 3 years left. So at the end of 2027, it's our prayer that it'll be paid off. Well, on top of everything else that you gave last year, you gave another $307,000 to that fund. And out of that, we were able to pay our mortgage of $205,000, which means that this month we'll be making another lump sum payment to our principal of about $100,000 to help pay that down quicker so that we'll be out of mortgage and out of debt by the end of 2027. So this is a small picture of what God has been doing in our church family. It's a way for us to stop, to pause, to reflect, and to rejoice. And it's important to remember stories like Luke's are proliferated throughout our church family. So many of you could share the same type of story of here's how Jesus is working in my life. Here's how God is moving in my family. Here's how God is working through my friendship circle or in my campus ministry. We saw in Psalm 78, verse 4, it said, "We will not hide this news about this great God from our children, but we will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, the wondrous works he's performed." In verse 5 and 6, it says, "He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that a future generation, a children yet to be born, might know, and they were to rise and tell their children." It's this constant recounting of God's faithfulness, how he's worked. It's this constant telling us, here's some benchmarks, here's some ways, here's some observations that we can make that demonstrate that God is active in his people. And in verse 7, it says, we do that so that they can put their confidence in God and not forget God's work. And then they would not be like their ancestors who were stubborn and rebellious. So if we were to put these things in perspective and to remind ourselves about the cross of Christ, about Jesus, we remind ourselves that when we say, be the church, we mean that we want to be a people that are inhabited by Jesus. We want to reflect Jesus to this world. And we want to remind ourselves that the character of Jesus is described in all kinds of analogies in Scripture. He's described as this, and you'll see it on the screen, as a root, a vine, an anchor, a foundation, the author, the beginning and end, the head of the church. He's the root. In Isaiah 11, verse 1, it says, "Then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit, and the Spirit the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight will be in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes. He will not execute justice by what he hears with his ears, but he will judge the poor righteously, and he'll execute justice for the oppressed of the land." And then in verse 10, it says, "On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples, and the nations will look to him for guidance, and his resting place will be glorious." It's talking about the Messiah. It's talking about Jesus. He is our root. He's also the vine. In John 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. And you were already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And so remain in me, and I in you. And just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. And then Jesus is the anchor. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Jesus has entered there on our behalf. And he is the foundation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, so then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building being put together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Son. Jesus is the author. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and I'm going to cheat here and read from the King James. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I cheated to get the word author because in the CSB version, it says he is the pioneer and perfecter. In the ESV, it says he's the founder and the perfecter. But the truth of the matter is Jesus is the one who writes all of our lives into existence. He's the one who creates life for us. He's our pioneer that has gone before us. He's also the beginning and he's the end. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he's the head of the church, the global church, and he's also the head of this church. In Ephesians 5, 23, we're told Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, he's also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. So as we reflect and we look back and recount what God has done, it's important to remind us that all the things that North Star has experienced, from increased attendance to increased offerings to baptisms to life transformations to God working in our individual lives and through our families, all of those things are because of who Jesus is, not because of who we are. It's because of our response to Jesus. This month, for those of you who might have been absent, we've been in a series called Resolved. And in this Resolved series, we've visited with one another about three significant overarching thoughts. The first Sunday, we talked about the importance of remind yourself that what you believe is how you behave, and how you behave reveals what you become. And the second Sunday, we talked about how we should live as if God's word is true. And we reminded ourselves that every morning we default to stupid. And how important it is to refresh our minds in the truths and the reality of Scripture, to read the Bible, to internalize it, to memorize it, to apply it to our life and to share it. And then last week, Sean shared with us the importance of rest, rejoice, and repeat. That we should dwell on these truths, that we apply into our life, we behave in such a way that they're real, and that we rejoice because Jesus is our advocate and he is our atoning sacrifice. And so again, the overarching principle today is that the reason that we recount is to rejoice, to remind, and to repeat. Why do we remember? In Psalm 78, constantly the Israelites were told to tell the next generation. Well, why we remember is, he says, so that a future generation might know, and so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commandments. And so our State of the Church Sunday is for us to remember what God has done this past year. There will be hard times for some of us as individuals or families this year. There will be good times. There may be hard times for us as a church that we deal with this year. But in all these things, we're instructed, like the people of Israel were, to remember, to remind ourselves. Because when we reflect on God's faithfulness in the past, we are assured of God's faithfulness in the future, no matter whether we go through hard times or whether we go through good times. We anchor ourselves in the anchor of life, who is Jesus. And we tell ourselves these things this past year, from small groups to youth ministry to the big events to the small daily steps of obedience and discipleship initiative. These things have happened among us because we earnestly believe that Jesus is alive. We gather together every week because we're confident that Jesus is real, that his life means life for us as well. And when we are firmly focused on Jesus, we experience life and we see people giving their lives in faith to Jesus for the first time. You see, when we have anchored ourselves in the gospel of Christ, when we remind ourselves of all the things that he's done in our church family, in our families, in our friendship circles, our campus ministries, we're able to continue living with a spirit of confidence and gratitude. And we're ready to tell others about Jesus. At North Star, we'll say, be the church. And what we mean by that is that we want to reflect Jesus. Last October, we have what we call Covenant Renewal Sunday. So we have two significant Sundays in the church year. We have Covenant Renewal Sunday, and then we have State of the Church Sunday. Each of those encourages us to keep our eyes on Jesus. But in October, I showed you this slide about what happens when we lose our wonder. What happens when we take our eyes off Jesus? Our hearts calcify. We don't share our faith. We don't read our Bibles. We become blind to God's activity in and around us. We become critical, hard-hearted, and prideful. We become apathetic and stagnant, and we just go through the motions. That's why we pause for special Sundays during the church year to reset, to remind, to recount God's goodness and his activity in our life, to center ourselves on the joy of being obedient to Jesus. So what is in store for us this year in 2025? What are we going to unveil? What is God going to do? What's our grand vision for this year? We have no idea. We're not going to unveil anything that's new or great or just something that we've thought up. Instead, we have sensed, and leadership behind the scenes, it's a year that we should get ready. To get ready. And here's one of the things that we want to do is back in August, and I've described for some of you how I will go back and I will review my journal entries from 6 months ago. So every Saturday morning, I'll read a week worth of journal entries from 6 months ago, and it's amazing how many answered prayers and all the ways that God has worked in those intervening 6 months. But here are two prayers that I wrote down 6 months ago in August. First prayer was just this, and you can see it on the screen. Help us make disciples by calling us forward and by calling the lost to you in contrition and repentance. And then a few days later, I wrote this. Lord, would you please demonstrate your mighty work in our days? Call amazing millions to vibrant, surrendered, and humble faith in you. And even as I've talked with other leaders in North Star, but especially as I've toured through some of my journals and just reflected on what God seems to be doing, it's just this constant thing of pray for salvation. Pray for people to come to know Jesus for the first time. What that means is that we as a church need to be prepared to share Jesus. And so if we're going to unveil anything, it's just simply this. It's something that Christians has already been doing for thousands of years. And it's just this, S-J-W-J. And yes, I like abbreviating things, but share Jesus with joy. That's this year. Is we want to help you, help each other, encourage one another, so that you are comfortable, confident, regular, and joyful at telling your Jesus story to other people. Some of you who are here today, you would say, I have never led another person to faith in Jesus Christ. That's actually pretty common in the American church. Some of you would say, I have never told another person about my personal faith in Jesus. And as we revisit Psalm 78, the people of Israel were commanded to tell the next generation. And Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, which tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. That's not for professional ministers. It's not for pastors and preachers. It's for every single believer in the church to tell other people about Jesus, to invite other people to know him for the first time. And some of you would like, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know where to start. And that is the best answer that you could give me today, because what we want to unleash this year, beginning on Sunday, February the 23rd, is we're going to offer a 30-minute evangelism workshop after services, both services, and we'll do that once a month this year. And you may think, well, how are you going to tell me how to share my faith in Jesus in 30 minutes? We're going to offer other opportunities for more substance, but here's the deal. If we can't tell you in 30 minutes how to talk about someone that you love, there's a problem with us. We should be able to tell you in 30 minutes or less how to tell someone your Jesus story and how to invite someone to consider Jesus in your life. We're not going to give you all the answers. We still don't have all the answers. But the reality of it is we know from Psalm 78 that we're responsible for telling the next generation. We know because of Jesus' commission that we're commanded to make disciples. So what's next? Here at North Star, you're sitting here and you're like, man, this sounds like a church where God has been active in your midst. And it is. We're grateful. We're amazed. We're humbled. But what's next is on Sunday, February the 23rd, after both services, we'll be having an evangelism workshop. If you miss that, we'll be offering it each month. But next Sunday, we'll have ministry tables. So when you come into the building next week, every one of these tables will have a different ministry represented. It's an opportunity for you to meet people and find a place to serve at North Star. So we had one of our members this past year discover a special way to serve. And I want you to see his video and his brief story about how he served this past year.
I'm a Neil Eckerd, a recent member here at North Star. But I've been a little kind of trying to find where the Lord wanted me, and I have felt not necessarily lost, but wasn't sure where he was sent, like what he wanted me to do since we moved. Since the recent disasters came up, he just kind of had laid something on my heart was, you have the flexibility to go help. I went myself, but joined a team of Virginia SBC Disaster Relief from Hampton Roads and Richmond. This team's in charge of cutting down trees and removing brush. Every place that we went, the people were happy that that we were there. And there had been talk in the community of the disaster relief teams from Southern Baptist Convention. At each house, I got to briefly talk with people, not long conversations, but we had a guy on our team who, he wanted to talk to them about the gospel, so he made it a point to. He was like the first one to beeline to have those conversations. Every place we got to at least talk to someone, and then we left a Bible that we all signed and wrote personal messages. God's doing amazing things through the SBC and the disaster relief teams all over. Definitely a desire to do this again, but now he's helped me to see the signs of where he wants me to plug in other spots as well.
Neil heard us talking about opportunities for disaster relief this past year. He went to training and he was mobilized. He found a way to serve. So as we get ready to share Jesus with joy this year, we also want to encourage you as members and as guests to find a way to serve. You also see we have a Discover North Star dinner coming up on February the 3rd and then a renewal services that Braden has already talked to you about. But if you're wondering, where do you go to keep abreast of all of the ways that God is going to be working in our church family? You can see this QR code on the screen behind me. Scan that in. It'll take you to a link to download the Church Center app. That is the primary way you can keep up with our church calendar, with opportunities for training and events that are going on. And then lastly, I want to encourage you, if you still need some notes from today, you can go back to dontgo.be/SOTC or scan that QR code that you'll see. So this morning in front of you, you see that we have Lord's Supper ready for us. Profoundly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul prepares the Corinthians about the Lord's Supper. But I want you to listen to how he prepares them, because he prepares them in a way that he says, before you take the Lord's Supper, recount the ways that God has been faithful. Remember how God has been faithful. And this is how Paul says it. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. He's being obedient to Psalm 78, isn't he? He received something, so he's telling others what he received. What I received from the Lord, I'm passing on to you. And he says, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Now listen to what Jesus says that we should do as we take the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. You see, looking back and remembering, pausing to reflect on what God has done, is even operative in communion. We stop and we remember what the cross was for and what the cross was about. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he also took the cup, and after supper, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.